Time now for Fort McMurray Matters on Mix 103.7. All the topics and issues that matter to you and your family. Brought to you by Culligan Water, Fort McMurray Orthodontics, and by Cooper & Company Law Firm.
Good afternoon and welcome to this edition of Fort McMurray Matters. I'm Elizabeth Priest. Joining me in studio today is the Impact Youth Coordinator with Safe Community Wood Buffalo, Melanie Murren. How are you doing this today?
I'm doing great, thanks. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. I think this is the first time I've had you on the show. I know I've had other people from Safe Community Wood Buffalo on before.
Yes.
But you guys are launching something really interesting and new for our region. But before we get into that, for those who don't know, what is Safe Community Wood Buffalo?
We are a nonprofit organization here in town, and we are funded through a lot of the industry and through the municipality for a lot of events that we try and do locally. One of the biggest ones that we are currently working on, of course, is with our road safety advocate groups. So we do a lot of work with youth in our community, and we try to really educate the road safety aspects and keeping our youth safe, whether they're riding a bicycle and making sure that they've got helmets, and teaching a lot about the impaired and distracted driving throughout the community as well with our youth.
And you also help parents out a lot. I know you've done some initiatives with RCMP about child seats placement and safety, and that was a really big initiative you guys undertook as well.
Yes, our car seat restraints. So we have our CHIP coordinator, so she's the childhood injury prevention coordinator, and she works a lot with the RCMP doing car seat installation and inspections. And it's actually we're starting to finally see a change in those things, which is fantastic, because previously when they did one of their car seat check stops, they actually had 87% of non-compliance, where people didn't understand properly how to have their car seats installed or how to properly use the restraints in the car seat for their kids. And we just did another one last week where she has now received only 71% of non-compliance. Okay. So we are seeing the numbers come down, which is fantastic.
And that is important, because we know Fort McMurray is there's so many young families here, so many young kids. So we want to make sure they're safe as possible wherever they are.
Yes. And there's so many babies that are being born here nonstop. So we definitely want to make sure that everybody knows how to properly install their car seats and keep their kids safe.
So when you, as a Impact Youth Coordinator, do you go into the schools when you're talking to these youth, or how are you educating them?
So I typically work within the junior high and the high schools mainly, and run a lot of programs during National Teen Driver Safety Week. We run a party program annually that's Prevent Alcohol and Risk-Related Trauma in Youth, and we do that program with all the grade 9s in Fort McMurray, so we easily see over 700 students each year to run a full-day program, and that strictly teaches them mainly about the effects of impaired and distracted driving and fatigue as well. And we're starting to incorporate this year a lot more about the opioid crisis that's been going on, that a lot of people have been working on as well. So,
and that party program can be quite heavy for some people, because you run that in coordination with regional emergency services, right?
We do, yes. They provide a lot of assistance for us, because in the mornings, one of the first things that we do with the students is we show them a mock collision, and it is very, very intense. And a lot of our students, because of course we don't know what each of them have been through personally and how they've been impacted and affected by some of these situations. And with the mock collision that we do, it's actually a live extraction. So we have volunteer actors who are placed inside these pre-crashed vehicles, and then emergency services come and they use like the jaws of life, and they are removing the roof off of the vehicles of the cars with people inside, and our actors are screaming, and some of our actors are dead essentially, and they're covered with tarps, and it looks exactly the same as a real life extraction, except for it's sort of sped up so that you know, everything is pre-arranged so that we can get it done a little bit faster. But we have students who cry, we have students that pass out, we've had students vomit. It's rather unfortunate, but we're showing them the truth. We don't want to hide them from those types of things. We want them to know what really goes on.
And what's the response from parents been like through this program?
It's been phenomenal. Actually, the last couple of years we've had parents who have come out and gone through the program with their kids, which has been fantastic, because then we know that those students have been affected personally, and having their parents there to see that shows so much support, that we're really proud of those parents that come out. And even some of them have started coming out to volunteer and help us with it, which is fantastic. They really encourage us to continue doing it each year, which is great for us, because we know how important it is. So to have parents' support really helps back us up there.
Yeah, when I was in high school years ago, we would just have someone, a speaker, come in and they would show a video.
But yes.
Being, witnessing it and hearing these actors scream, it would be very intense, I imagine. It's
very firsthand experience. Yeah. And most people will never have the opportunity to see these things firsthand.
Hopefully.
And then, yeah, exactly. Hopefully. We don't want them to see that. And then actually in the afternoon, we send them down to the hospital where they view a couple of videos and a trauma presentation with an ER nurse. And even that, a lot of the kids come back and say that that was pretty intense, but mm-hmm. they also do take a trip to the morgue down in the sub-basement, which I know a lot of parents sort of kind of hesitate and yeah. they worry, like, you know, I don't want my kid going down to the morgue, but there's absolutely no opportunity for them to see any, you know, bodies or anything like right. that. They go into our morgue and see what it looks like and what the process is after someone has become deceased. And then there's a viewing room that they actually go in and see so that they get the full idea of, you know, if your loved one is killed in a collision, that you have to identify the body.
Yeah.
And these are things that they don't think about because they're not aware of these things. And we hope that they never have to end up in those situations.
Especially as you get into that teenage year's age, you're starting to get your driver's license and whatever yes. else may be happening.
Yes. And our big thing is that we're not here to lecture the students. It's we want to just create preventative measures for them. We want them to be educated so that mm-hmm. they know that these potential risks are out there and that they exist, and we're just trying to help them make the smarter choices.
Has that program ran this school year yet?
No, we are doing it this year in May. So okay, of course we're always out looking for volunteers as well.
Okay.
So that's always part of the fun.
So if people want to volunteer with this, contact your office?
They can contact our office. They can call and email me directly, and I'm more than happy to meet with people and see how they'd like to participate. We can discuss all the different positions that we have available, and the more volunteers, the better the program runs.
Perfect. Well, we're going to take a quick break, but we'll continue this conversation with Melanie Murren, the Impact Youth Coordinator with Safe Community Wood Buffalo, when we return after these commercials.
You're listening to Fort McMurray Matters on Mix 103.7, brought to you by Fort McMurray Orthodontics, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and by Culligan Water. We'll be right back after this. Now, back to Fort McMurray Matters on Mix 103.7, brought to you by Culligan Water, Fort McMurray Orthodontics, and by Cooper & Company Law Firm.
Welcome back to Fort McMurray Matters. I'm Elizabeth Priest. If you're just tuning into the show today, once again, joining me in studio is the Impact Youth Coordinator with Safe Community Wood Buffalo, Melanie Murren. Before the break, we're talking about some of the programs that you, Melanie, and your organization run, including the party program for grade 9 students here in our community, which will take place this year in May. And one thing that you guys are working on now is the Vision Zero Road Safety Plan. Tell us a bit about this.
So Vision Zero was actually a plan that was created in the Netherlands. Mm-hmm. And the idea is that we have a goal of reaching zero fatalities and zero serious injuries on our roadways. So it seems quite extensive to a lot of people.
Yeah.
And a lot of people do argue that, you know, we're never going to get there. But our advantage is because places like the Netherlands and Sweden are so much further advanced with these types of things compared to what we have. Sweden has already achieved their goal of Vision Zero, and they've managed to maintain it for 2 years now. So they have
had... there's been zero fatalities?
There has been zero fatalities and zero serious injuries on their roadways as a result of collisions. And it's been a change of infrastructure, but mainly it's been a change of driver attitude and behaviors. And that's what we're hoping to do here. So we have set a 12-year plan that we will reach Vision Zero here in Fort McMurray by 2030. So we have a few smaller goals set to help us get to that that area.
So when you're talking about our roadways, are you talking specifically within Fort McMurray, or does this include Highway 63, 881 as well, and north, south?
So our ultimate goal will be to reach out and include the entire municipality. Mm-hmm. But to begin, we are looking to make these goals happen within Fort McMurray. So we do have to start small, think small, yeah. but with a larger result in the end, right? So for us, our Vision Zero goal, we're trying to reach by 2030, and we're starting with three smaller goals. So for 2020, we're actually working with the public and the Catholic School Board, and we're hoping to ensure that we have uniformed school zones where all of our school zones are properly marked and labeled with the proper signage on the roads, mm-hmm. that our crosswalks are installed everywhere, because we do have a couple of school zones that are lacking in the crosswalk department, where they require an additional crosswalk, or the crosswalks might need to be repainted, or the signage might need to be changed.
Wouldn't that be the municipality's job?
It is part of the municipality's job, but in saying that, because they provide us with funding to do some of these things,
right.
So we are actually sort of working with them as well, so that we kind of go out and we do our own evaluation and we hand it back to the transportation department, and then we work with them for the evaluation to see what types of things we can change to improve these situations and help keep our children much safer in the school zones.
Right.
So in doing that, we're actually looking to have the junior high schools, because they are all going to incorporate 7, 8, and 9 starting next year, I believe, for the 2018-2019 mm-hmm. school year. We're hoping to have them marked as school zones as well, because it's fantastic that, you know, we've got these older teenagers who are out there driving, and, you know, for the most part, they're aware of the rules of the road, and they know that they need to be safe in, around their schools, but they're not marked as school zones. And now that we're incorporating 11 and 12 year olds going to these schools, we want to make sure that we're keeping all mm-hmm. of them safe. So we're looking to have all of our high schools marked as school zones as well, and ensure that they have the proper crosswalks.
So that's by 2020 you hope to do that?
Yeah.
And so what are your two other smaller goals within this?
So we're hoping that by 2025 mm-hmm. that we will achieve the goals of having a greater compliance with our occupant restraints. So that's going to include car seats. We want to see our numbers drop from the 87, which just dropped to 71% of non-compliance. We really want to see it drop to at a maximum 40% of non-compliance. Mm-hmm. Of course, if it goes lower than that, we're much happier.
Of course.
But we know that it takes a lot of time, and education is a big part of this.
And there's so many brands with car seats. So,
yes.
And I'm sure there's a different technique to all of them being installed.
Each of them are typically installed differently, or, you know, they have a different base, and the way that they're installed, it's not a area that I'm very well educated in, mm-hmm. but our other coordinator, Leslie Piercy, is absolutely phenomenal in what she does, and she has access to the manuals for every single car seat that's out there.
Oh goodness.
And it's unbelievable the stuff that she knows and how well she's educated. And she is our car seat technician, so she's actually trained a lot of our RCMP members here in town, so that they know when they pull someone over how to properly inspect the seat and ensure that the children are properly being restrained.
And you can get a fine for that if they are not.
Yes, there are fines for it. So they're $155 for each infraction. So if your seat's not installed properly, if your child is not properly restrained within that seat, it can become quite expensive.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to make sure that the education is out there, and we've got the enforcement to help back us up in that regard, which is absolutely phenomenal.
And that final goal?
Well, within 2025, yeah. we have other goals, is to make sure that we're reducing the number of collisions, of course, that are taking place here in town. We want to make sure that we're hoping to see more red light, the speed and go on green cameras, as well as if there's a potential for more photo radar. But we'd like to stop advising the public on which cameras are mm-hmm. active around town and where the photo radar machine actually is, so that no matter where you go, you have that idea in the back of your mind that I could be getting a photo radar ticket, or that I could be getting the speed on green tickets right now. So we just kind of want to pull that away so that people are more aware of what's going on.
It's like when someone tells you where police check stops are set up.
Yeah. Oh, you know, there's a check stop over here tonight.
Yeah.
You know, avoid this area. Well, no, we don't want you to know, because that's part of how the system works.
Yeah.
So we want to stop advising people of where these types of things are, so that they're almost forced really to obey the laws mm-hmm. and not drive impaired and not be distracted. And we really want to make sure that we're keeping everyone safe. We're not doing this for you know, a cash cow thing, like a lot of people say the photo radar and red light cameras are. What a lot of people in the community don't know is that the fines that you have to pay in regards to those tickets actually go back into nonprofit organizations to help with the education for things such as road safety. So that's actually part of the funding that we receive as well. And so the more we receive, the greater that is for us, of course. But that tells us that we've got more people who are not obeying our mm-hmm. road laws. And it's really unfortunate as someone who's been directly impacted by a roadway collision with an impaired driver. I would really like to see those numbers decrease to help keep people safe so they don't have to experience the same tragedies and traumas that myself and my family have had to endure as well.
Totally. Well, we're going to take a quick break, but we'll continue this conversation when we return after these commercials.
You're listening to Fort McMurray Matters on Mix 103.7. Brought to you by Fort McMurray Orthodontics, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and by Culligan Water. We'll be right back after this. Now, back to Fort McMurray Matters on Mix 103.7. Brought to you by Culligan Water, Fort McMurray Orthodontics, and by Cooper & Company Law Firm.
Welcome back to Fort McMurray Matters. I'm Elizabeth Priest. Once again, joining me in studio today is the Impact Youth Coordinator with Safe Community Wood Buffalo, Melanie Murren. And we're talking about their Vision Zero Road Safety Plan. It's a 12-year plan. Within that, looking to have many other little mini goals. So how are you going to accomplish this?
It is quite the challenging task. And we know that there's, the potential that we may not reach the goal. But of course, we do have a 12-year plan, so we're hoping that over the 12 years, through education on our side, enforcement with the RCMP, and in working with the municipality, with the transportation departments, that's a lot of our engineering department, and that's where we really need to focus. We've got some equipment that's going to actually be set up later on within our goals of 2025 to 2030 to monitor a lot of our high collision areas. And it's going to do all of our data collection for us, and everything will be data driven. We're not doing it just, because we think we need to see a change. But with all of the data, then it's going to help us determine where we might need to make changes to some of the infrastructure, and that's where working with the municipality is going to be really important as well. So not only are we receiving funding from them, but we're receiving a lot of the work support, with our end goal being 2030, so that we have zero fatalities and zero serious injuries on our roadways. And really, it's just a matter of trying to save lives and keep everyone safe. So our ultimate goal in the end is to make sure that everyone is able to follow the same sort of instruction. And it's really interesting to see how we can try and curb driver behavior. And people don't realize a lot of the time, that it's little things that are distracting. Some people are still, talking on their cell phones. Mm-hmm. And even the difference between a handheld device versus the, Bluetooth devices, so it's not handheld. But a lot of people don't realize how much of a distraction it is to actually be having a conversation. When you're driving, you're trying to focus on things. I'm trying to make a left-hand turn here, and I'm waiting and I'm watching the traffic, but I'm talking to someone through my Bluetooth, and it's a distracting conversation, and it's all a matter of how well you're paying attention. So there's a lot of things that we're hoping to sort of curb and change so that we keep everybody safe on our roads.
Well, we definitely all see some sort of interesting motorist out on the roadways every day.
Oh, most definitely. And I put it to everybody that's listening that when you pull up to a red light or when you pull up to a stop sign, just to take a second and look around and notice how many people are talking on their phones or they're texting, which is huge. And you still see like the old posters that used to say, crotches kill.
Yeah.
Because everyone's looking down at their crotch, and you just look around and you kind of go, what are you doing? And you know that they're texting. Mm-hmm. And it's really unfortunate because they think it's just a minor thing. But, when the last thing that you do in life could potentially be half of a text message, was it really that important?
Mm-hmm. So do you know the high collision intersections now?
We're still doing some data collection and to evaluate where all of our major collision areas are. We do know of some just on our own basis and evaluations, but the equipment that the municipality has to offer to help us collect that data is really going to help. We also we're working with ATS Traffic in Edmonton, and they provide us with a lot of these equipments as well to collect all of our data, which is going to be great. One of the other things that I would like to make sure I mention is that when the municipality started widening our sidewalks in Thickwood, I know going down Thickwood Boulevard, they've added this, it's almost like an extra lane, and they have a line marked on it to sort of divide it. And one of the things we'd really like to see is having these put more places throughout the community so that we can try and get our cyclists off the road and keep them out of traffic and have them using their own bicycle lanes, but not on the roadways. I know when you go to a larger city like in Edmonton, Calgary, and in Toronto, for example, because we were just attended the Vision Zero conference in Toronto, myself and Leslie, and they had a big focus on bike lanes, mm-hmm. which is really fantastic. But Fort McMurray, we have so much snow on our roads so much of the year that it would be fantastic if we had bicycle lanes next to the sidewalks, just by widening the sidewalks, just to help keep our cyclists safe. Especially, we've got small children who, of course, are not riding on the roads, mm-hmm. but with adults who are riding on the roads, you can't keep up with the speed of traffic, and that creates such a potential challenge of driver frustration that it's just better to have them off the roads.
And a lot of time when you're working out, biking, running, you have headphones in. So exactly. You might not hear some things.
And the unfortunate part is, because as adults, there is no law that states that they have to wear a helmet. It's rather challenging when you see somebody riding a bicycle on the road and they're not even wearing a helmet, mm-hmm. or they've got the headphones in, and you just think, oh my goodness, like, you can't hear me, you don't know how close I am behind mm-hmm. you, or someone's changing lanes, and it's not only frustrating for the driver, but it's got to be challenging for that cyclist as well. So getting them off the roads, I think, is a much safer idea.
So do you have any stats with how many people either die or are seriously injured on our roadways each year? Or
we do have the statistics. Unfortunately, some of our statistics are, you know, they're dated, right?
Yeah.
So I think the most recent ones that we have is, I believe, the 2016 statistics were just released. And based on some of those numbers, it is really atrocious. Unfortunately, I don't have them here with me. But it is. It's really atrocious how many people are injured and killed on our roadways. And in working with the Coalition for Safer 63 and 881, we're partnered with them as well. It's interesting to be able to go on their website and go through that roadmap and see where all these collisions are yeah. for injuries and fatalities. And it's so unfortunate, and it's 100% preventable. And that's why we don't call them accidents. It's not an accident. Mm-hmm. It's a collision, or it's a crash. Mm-hmm. And all it is a lot of it is driver behavior. And if we can change that, we can really start changing the world.
And I think everyone thinks it won't happen to them. So,
oh, of course,
we all think we're invincible.
That's right. Right. We all say it won't happen to me. Mm-hmm. I said it won't happen to me. Mm-hmm. And one day before I know it, I, you know, woke up in a hospital bed going, oh, it happened to me.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Nobody expects it. We all think, well, I'm a great driver, so, you know, I'm not going to get into a collision. And that's great. And I encourage you, if you are a great driver, please keep being a great driver,
yeah.
but make sure that you're paying attention to the other drivers that are out there on the road as well. And, you know, it's one of those risky things. Like I said, if you look around at a red light or a stop sign and you see how many people are on their phones, well, you can say you're a great driver, but if you're on your phone, you're not giving it your full attention, and you're operating something that weighs thousands of pounds.
Mm-hmm.
How is that a good idea? Mm-hmm. You know, that's extremely dangerous. It's more deadly than a gun at yeah. times, right? So it's definitely something we want to see changes in.
I know in bigger cities, they'll always have police, in summertime anyway, on bikes, and they drive through traffic. And if
yeah.
they see that you're on your phone, cause I'm from Winnipeg, and they always do that in Winnipeg. If it's rush hour and it's dead stop, and the police will just go and bike up and down, and then you get a knock on your window.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
I was unaware of that. That is a really great thing. I would definitely love to see that happening here. We do have RCMP that do go on cycle bicycles in the summertime, and that I would love to see them going through the traffic and start knocking on windows. I think that's great. I've seen them doing it in the drive-thrus.
Oh, yeah.
And at first, you know, I was one of these naive people who I thought, I'm in drive-thru, I'm stopped, so
yeah.
it's not a big deal. And then it was actually our executive director that pointed out to me, no, you're not in park, so it's really not a good idea to be using your phone in the drive-thru even. And then we started having our CMP monitoring our drive-thrus and starting ticketing people for using their phones in the drive-thrus, and I just think that's phenomenal.
So unfortunately, we are running out of time. We could talk about this all day long.
Yes.
But have you guys started this now? Is this already underway?
Yes,
or?
We have started it. Okay. We're already underway, so we are definitely looking for more input from anybody in the community. If you want to get involved and take part and help us out, if you've got some ideas, we're more than happy to work with you. And we certainly hope that we can achieve these goals successfully within our timeline.
Perfect. Anything else you want to add?
Nope, I don't think so.
And your website?
Our website is www.safecommunitywb.ca, and you will find all of our information there. And if you're interested in volunteering again, we have a volunteer tab that you can click on and sign up with us. And we're looking forward to working with anybody in the community who's interested.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for joining me in studio today.
Thank you.
And that is our show for today. We will be back again tomorrow from noon to 12:30 right here on Mix 103.7. I'm Elizabeth Priest, and you've been listening to Fort McMurray Matters.
This has been another edition of Fort McMurray Matters on Mix 103.7. Brought to you by Cooper & Company Law Firm, Culligan Water, and by Fort McMurray Orthodontics. If you have a question or a comment about today's topic or have an idea for a future show, please contact the news department by emailing mixnews@mix1037fm.com.